and safety. God is my joy. God is my rock and my strength. God is my refuge. I trust with all my strength. Pour out your hearts before the Lord. In God alone is my soul at rest, the God who is my help. The Lord is my rock, my strength, and my hope, my fortress, my God.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, thus should one regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now it is, of course, required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. It does not concern me in the least that I be judged by you or any human tribunal. I do not even pass judgment on myself. I am not conscious of anything against me, but I do not thereby stand acquitted. The one who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, do not make any judgment before the appointed time until the Lord comes. For he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will manifest the motives of our hearts. And then everyone will receive praise from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O little of faith? So do not worry and say, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear? All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We need to have a family discussion about our parish finances. Can everybody say hooray? In over 7.5 years as your pastor, I have never before taken all of the homily time to talk to you about money for the parish. I'm reluctant to do it. I'd rather talk about God's word to us today. I'm doing what I'm doing today because never before have we had the first 6 months to the fiscal year, which started last July. That's the archdiocesan fiscal year, July to June. We'd have never had the first 6 months of a fiscal year as we just had. We're not in terrible shape. In fact, I think financially, we're the envy of most parishes. We have savings in the bank. But we need to act now so that we do not, further down the road, get in terrible shape. We're making an immediate response to a developing situation. I believe in full disclosure. The finance council and the parish council know as much as I do about our finances. We publish annual reports. I welcome audits. I discuss with you now, with their advice and input, what I have already discussed with the finance council and the parish council. I believe the deficit spending is one of the great moral and governmental crises of our time. The federal government does it, and no one has the wisdom or the guts to stop it. St. Linus could spend its savings to cover operating deficits, but not on my watch. A few years ago in the school, we had a very well-attended meeting. It was a sort of come-to-Jesus meeting about keeping the school open. Our school is one of the great missions of our parish, but keeping schools open in this area with rising costs and changing demographics is an ongoing challenge. I said at that meeting very clearly and repeated often, because rumors will kill you, we're not going to close. But I did say, if we do not act now, creatively and aggressively, we can easily get in that position. I said, I had noticed something, that whenever a school announces that it will close, there's a great outpouring of initiative and passion. Oh, we can do this and we can do that, and let's get that done, but by then it's too late. Said to the school audience, we need that passion and initiative now. And we got it. Similarly, I'm not here to tell you that we now have to cut some of the things that make, I believe, St. Linus excellent. If you want to and you are able to, then we can make sure now that we get even better. I need your attention now, and I need your help. This is what's happening. This is why I'm talking to you. I want to thank our business manager, Fred Morath, who actually learned the PowerPoint program and spent many, 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 many hours putting this all together. These are numbers that we will or have already sent down to the Archdiocese. I've signed for their accuracy. Before God, we can say they're the best we know. Parish revenues were $46,000 less than our budget. That's never really happened like that before. So less money is coming in. Expenses for the first half of the fiscal year, those are almost even columns, aren't they? Expenses for the first 6 months were pretty much what we projected. Okay, that was an actual number for 6 months. Now we're projecting a number for 12 months of revenue. And we're projecting a shortfall of $74,000. It's just not double the 46, because all of these things are compared to things that have happened in the past, and more money comes in the second half of the fiscal year than the first half. The first fiscal year starts out with July and August, and those are our two leanest months. So in revenue, we're projecting a shortfall of $74,000. Our projected expenses for that same period of time are very, very, very close. So expenses are pretty much what we expected. It's the revenue that is getting our attention. Now, this is an important slide. As you can see, since 2006, our envelope giving, our revenue for the parish has gone consistently down. It was, 2006 was in some ways a high. Before that it was less, but 2006 was our first offertory increase campaign. We did get a considerable bump out of that, but we did not get the same bump out of the campaign that, when was the last time we did it? A year ago, a year and a half ago? As you can see, over these five actual years and one projected year, there's going to be a shortfall of $131,000. That's considerable. Look at that. That's the previous slide was a six-year comparison of revenue. This is a six-year comparison of expenses. And you can see slightly, but nevertheless, actually, over 6 years, expenses have gone down. You could say they've remained about the same, but technically they've gone down. From 2006 to 2010, the operating income was greater than operating expenses by $125,000. Okay, that's good. For the five previous years, we took in more money than we spent. That's what we want to do, right? Okay, this is why I'm talking to you. Projected for the fiscal year in 2011, that's going to go the other direction, the bad direction, by $75,000. We not only can that not continue, we actually don't even want that to be the number that we end this year with. Some might say, well, it's just the darn school. It just eats money. Well, the school has been doing a lot, been working very, very hard. We've been doing a lot of things in marketing. Hey, on Telegraph, see if you can find the St. Linus billboard. There's a billboard for St. Linus School on Telegraph going south between Cherry Hill and Ford. When I got here in 2003, enrollment was 146. That's not a good number. We're at, I believe, a little over 190 now. In 5 years, tuition has gone up $700. That's been a challenge for our school parents, but we've been asking them for more, and they've been responding, and we had anticipating some of this. We're increasing it another $150 for next September. We're doing a lot in the parish. A lot of things have very significantly changed. The church has been renovated. The outside looks very different and continues to do so with so much volunteer help. We're using the annex more and more. We need more meeting space for all the things that are going on. We completely redid the kitchen. We have a new parish library. It's used more. We've updated the rectory to save money. You can see we've done concrete work, other things in the parking lot, new fences. Our drainage needed to be repaired. And for instance, we have these screens. It would be very hard to talk to you about these things this well in another way. School, too. We put the biggest expense we've had. You know the most boring thing in the world to spend money on? Roofs. Now we're going to have a boiler coming up. That's pretty close. You don't see that, but you sure feel it if you don't do it. That was $250,000. It's mostly over the school, but over the parish office, too. We took some of our diocesan grant money. We've invested in a new media room. It's got one of those smart boards like CSI where you touch it and it flies by. We did that because we want the best for our students in this school, and also because we think that makes us very marketable and gives us something that is very attractive to new school parents. We've updated a lot of our computer technology. I think we're doing a good job. Original plumbing, over 50 years old, was breaking down, and we replaced it, and now we're saving a ton on our water bills. We expanded the principal's office, actually the principal's cubbyhole, you could say. That's bigger, and the teachers have a better place to recuperate, be refreshed during the day. We have been working for 2 years to do the best job we can on replacing our original boiler. We're hoping it gets through the winter. It's over 50 years old. God bless our computer. We'll shortly replace it and save a ton on our gas bill. That expense we'll get back rather quickly. Now, the roof, the school, all these things we've done without going to the parish to ask you for the money to do it, because over the years you've given enough money that we've got that in savings. We want savings to be able to do things like the boiler and these things that we need. We don't want to use savings to operate to cover the deficits that I'm bringing to you. That's just a slow dance with death. Okay, Protestants give, statistics always point this out, an average of more than twice as much as Catholics per family. If all the Catholics in St. Linus average the same level of giving as the average Protestants in the United States, then guess what? Everybody could go to the school for free. We could hire a full-time youth minister. We might even be able to heat our parking lot so you won't slip. I don't know. Okay. But they give more. In 2010, St. Linus members who used envelopes for weekly and Christmas collections, this is both, gave an average of $605. Using the Dearborn Heights average income of a little over $43,000, that would be 1.4% of income. So you know if you give more or less than $605, and you know your income is more or less than 43. So you can get some idea yourself of what percentage of income you're giving to St. Linus. Some might say, well, that's just because we have fewer parishioners. Actually, that's not the case. We've remained almost exactly the same over the last 6 or 7 or 8 years. And that's a good thing because we always have people who are dying and moving away for jobs, housing, suburbs, various reasons like that. This is a changing demographic, but we've got a lot of new parishioners also coming in. They're being replaced by people who are either moving into the area or choosing St. Linus. The church does not require a 10% tithe, but it's a common Christian tradition to aspire to this goal. Now, that's not just giving to church, but charitable giving as a whole. What percentage of your income do you think you are contributing? How Americans spent their money. These are relatively recent statistics. Tobacco, clothing, entertainment, that's a big one. Somebody said, I wonder how much we spend on Starbucks. I don't know. I'd like to know. Alcohol. I want us to think in terms of percentages of our income. We need to ask God's help to do our best. We always need to be inviting others to join us in the parish and the school. I read a study recently, it's very interesting. I mean, we all know Catholics are leaving the Catholic Church, right? But there was a national study that says Catholics aren't leaving the Catholic Church in any greater percentage than Baptists are leaving the Baptist Church or even independents are leaving independent churches. But the difference is Catholic churches don't bring new members in. They don't evangelize to the same way that the Baptists and the other churches do. That's the difference. So, and you can see that's probably one of our weaknesses. But we can do better at that. Consider the relative importance to you and your family of diminished parish services. Now, I can acknowledge, I think, perhaps brutally but honestly, some people really don't care about this. I could characterize their position and say, now look, there is Mass on Sunday, give me the sacraments when I need it, and bury me when I'm dead. What's the fuss? Actually, there's a lot more to it than that, and I thank those for their generosity over the years, and with pastoral charity, I commend you to God. Some care, but can't really increase their giving. Hey, I know the times in which we live. I mean, trying to get more money out of some of you is like trying to sell an air conditioner to an Eskimo. You can't do anything with it. Somebody came up to me after Mass on 4 o'clock yesterday and said, okay, you tell Snyder not to tax my pension, and I'll split it with you. I don't think that I have those kinds of connections. I know that there's issues out there. And I don't want anybody, as a result of this, to feel guilty. If you're doing your best, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. But some really do care and can increase their giving. I'm talking to you. Evaluate your contribution in terms of percentage of income. Our goal is to increase total parish revenues to 2006 levels, and if we do that, we can cover our deficit and be in good shape for the future. To summarize and conclude, hey, we're projecting a deficit. That's new. Our revenues are down. That's the reason our expenses have held steady. There's very little we can do to address expenses. We're a lean operation, other than eliminating or cutting salaries. It's a little unusual for a parish this size to have a full-time music and worship director. It's a little unusual for a parish this size to also have a full-time pastoral associate. Parishes this size are struggling to maintain their schools. If we shift more of the burden to families by charging higher tuition, we risk pricing ourselves out of the market. Schools attract young families. They bring vital energy to the parish, and they help pass on our faith to the next generation. Cutting expenses significantly will threaten the excellence that many of us have come to expect and love about St. Linus. So can we increase our revenue? What can you do? We're in good shape now. This is about staying there. I often hear when parishes encounter difficulties, parishioners say some variation of, "We didn't know. Why didn't you tell us? Or we could have done something." Now you know, because I'm telling you, and now you can do something. St. Linus is your family. We appreciate all help, great and small. While this is primarily about envelope giving, remember us also in bequests and gifts, and we invite our listeners at home to participate also. I know for some of you that your faith is the most important thing in your life, and that St. Linus is a big place in your heart. I need you to take some time to think and to pray about this. Couples, talk about this together, especially in terms of percentages of income. Are you as generous with God as you think you should be? Do your contributions to St. Linus express what you're receiving here? Is God subtly nudging you to give more? The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. The Bible says God will not be outdone in generosity. Our gospel reading today says, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry, God will give you what you need. Thank you for your attention. I'll be available after Mass for any questions.